Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Happy Friday to you. Sunshine, a little bit colder than what I would prefer, but sunshine, so I'm good with that. No more snow. I'm good with that, too. As many getting ready to head out to Arizona. Now, we got a couple of weeks before we leave, but can't wait. Looking forward to it. Pitchers and catchers have reported. We're talking a lot of baseball now. Things are good. The Bucks are on their All-Star break. So feeling good about everything. Feeling happy about it. By the way, I'm Bill Michaels, in case you didn't know. And you can get a hold of me at @Bill_Michaels on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels. You can also always get a hold of the program on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockeyTalkLine, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Also, you can track us down over on the Facebook fan page. That is facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And today was a banner day in the sense that I walked into work today, and sitting on my desk, dropped off from the Girl Scouts of Southeastern Wisconsin, was a couple of boxes of Thin Mints. That's like when Sherry would wake you up and say, "Hey, I'm feeling it." It's not quite that good. But
no, not quite. But
not quite, because if she's listening, I'm sleeping outside. But that's a banner day right there. Jeff Orlovsky in for Radio Joe. Radio Joe is on the DL, and literally, for those that followed the program yesterday, he went to sleep the other night and woke up with a groin pull. And now it's so bad he can't walk. He might want to go get that checked. Jeff Orlovsky, the Polish pipe bomb, hanging in here with us today, which, by the way, is kind of appropriate because this weekend's a big weekend in racing.
Oh, Daytona 500?
Yeah, you're the racing fanatic, so.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
We're going to have Dave Coleman of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is going to be joining us a little bit later to talk about it. But, yeah, the kickoff to the NASCAR season is right around the corner, and the old guy, like Paul Menard, still out there racing, even though he's, what, 35, 36, something like that?
Yeah.
So a lot of new faces, and we've already had a massive, massive wreck. That was last week. That was qualifying, wasn't it? Was it qualifying, or was it one of the shootout races?
That was in the Clash, and then that was, you know, caused by Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
He pretty much wrecked the whole field, and then he took out Kyle Busch last night in the twin 125 qualifying.
Now, is
races.
He doing this on purpose? Some are complaining he's doing it on purpose.
You know, I don't know, but it's a very bad look for Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy, I mean, you know, you're talking about he's right up there with the what did they used to call, Dale Earnhardt Sr., the Terminator?
Intimidator,
okay. Terminator. I don't know why that was stuck in my head. I knew that was wrong the minute it came out of my mouth. So they used to call him the Intimidator. And is that Jimmy Johnson now because he has so many championships under his belt that he can just kind of go out and do what he wants?
Pretty much. You know, okay. He definitely gets a pass by NASCAR. They look the other way. For the last couple of years before this, it was Ricky Stenhouse that wrecked the field all the time.
Yeah, but he had a horse grill, so everybody hated him anyway. He just looked funny.
And he was dating Danica Patrick at the time. He looked like a total weasel. He's 4 foot
tall.
Speaking
of that, did you see Aaron Rodgers' pictures?
No. Oh, from his vacation?
He's posting all over the world, him and Danica?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't tell where they're at. They could be in his backyard for all we know, but one's from New Zealand, the other one's from someplace else, the other one's from climbing a mountain here, you know. They're all over the place together.
Tough life.
Yeah.
He's living that Bill Michaels lifestyle.
Yeah, that ain't happening. My big trips this year coming up. We have got, as a matter of fact, and I'm gonna make this announcement now. I wasn't going to do this, and you know what? All these stations aren't even on the network just as of yet, but I got my schedule. So, and I'm going to do this here real quick, and I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I really don't care. So they started going over all the different appearances we're going to have this year. And I've got a cigar dinner in La Crosse on Thursday, June 13th coming up. We've got another one 2 weeks later. I'm going to be in Rice Lake. Now, figure this. So I'm going to Rice Lake because we go up there for the Celebrity Golf Classic every year. That's with all the Packers and everybody.
Right.
So I'm going to Rice Lake. I'm leaving on the 25th. That's a Tuesday. I do the show from the golf course on the Wednesday. Then the Wednesday night is where we host the party, the celeb party, so to speak, which is really a neat event. Then on the 27th, I'm out back at the golf course doing the show with all the celebrities and everybody that, you know, last year we had Larry the Cable Guy and everybody that, came across. The minute we get off the air, got to then go from Rice Lake to Green Bay. That's not an easy jaunt because that's all like semi-highway back roads type of thing.
Right.
And I got a cigar dinner in Green Bay that night. So I got to do till 2 or 3, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that in Rice Lake. And then I got to be in Green Bay by 6 o'clock. I don't know if that can be done because it's telling me 3 hours and 27 minutes on the MapQuest to get from one to the next.
All you got to do is ask and you'll have the phone lines will light up and 15 different people. Bill, I'm a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
I've got you covered.
Somebody's got me, yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get my car and the radio equipment there, but somebody's got me.
Absolutely.
And then and then you get to July. We've got the Greater Lombardo Open. We always take off for that. We've got a week-long vacation. Jimmy Buffett's coming back to town. We have a cigar dinner in Wausau on the 31st that we're going to be doing. Then you get into the Wisconsin State Fair, and we've got this is one of those things where people say, oh, a tough life. I do have to play in a golf tournament. I've been asked to play in it. It's kind of important, so I said I would do it. It's a good charity event. But after that, we're back in Eau Claire, where I got hit by lightning. That's in August, and we do two days' worth of junior achievement at golf outing, and then that night we're in Chippewa Falls for another cigar dinner.
Wow.
So, and then we got the Infinity Car races that are coming to town. And right after that Infinity Car race, we do the Infinity Car race until 2. Then I got to be in Menominee Marinette for the M&M game that night at 6. So I have 3 hours, basically, to get out of Road America and get north, get settled, and then be ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, busy man.
That's just the beginning of the travel schedule. So Aaron Rodgers and Danica have nothing on me.
Are you bringing a backup? Just in case there's clouds in the sky.
No, I'm like the guy in the Great Outdoors that once you start to see the weather change, I'm running. I'm heading to the hills. I did not know this. My wife found this out. She started doing research. My wife researches everything, okay? If you've ever said hello to my wife, all you've ever seen is the top of her head because she's always on her phone. Always. I mean, always. So she researched lightning strikes. Because everybody says, well, it's a one in a million shot. It's actually like one in a billion shot for getting hit by lightning. Your chances then go up for you to get hit again.
Yeah, yeah. Once you're struck,
you are then charged. Something about it, there's something, people that have been struck by lightning have been struck numerous times. Now, some of them are idiots. They're both playing golf on a golf course, swinging clubs in the air, yelling rat farts, and we all know what happens. But the likelihood of you being struck again, something changes molecularly in your body that then creates a charge that becomes an attractant to electric. I didn't know that. So the likelihood of me getting hit again, it's up there.
So you're like a walking lightning rod?
There's a whole lightning rod joke there I chose not to do, but yes.
Yeah, wow.
So
wow.
I didn't know that. So anytime now I see something coming, I'm out of the way.
This last year might have been the last year for you to win the golf tournament because I can't imagine you're going to have people just wanting to golf with you.
Oh,
anymore.
Hell yeah. That's a story right there. I mean, they're going to scatter. Nobody's going to want to be near me, but they're all going to go, Bill, go out to the green, stand there. We're going to run behind these trees and we want to see what happens. You know, holy crap. Look at him glow. Jeez. You know, that type of thing. Oh, yep. He's dead and he pooped his pants. You know, so yep, it really happens. There you have it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Milwaukee Talk Line. This portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs. They have the Reuben back right now, limited time only, and some stores now deliver. I'm not kidding. Now you can actually get somebody to bring you Cousin Subs. Oh, that's so good. The Reuben stacked corned beef, Wisconsin Swiss cheese. Oh, the good stuff. Then you've got the sauerkraut on top of it, Thousand Island dressing, all in that rye bun. Oh, so good. For a limited time only over at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Going to talk some Bucks basketball today. We're going to talk about how many wins this team would actually have. What is the value of Chris Middleton in the terms of wins? If he wasn't on this team, how many more wins or less wins would they have? And I was watching the NBA Network last night, and they were talking about upcoming free agents. And obviously, everybody's talking about KD and KD's little temper tantrum. But let me say this. They get down to Chris Middleton, and they all look at each other and say, he's not a guy that's carrying a team right now. He's not a guy that's able to step up right now. He is a terrific role player. Okay? I am not, because there's people just demeaning Chris Middleton. I'm not going to do that. I think Chris Middleton's a solid player. Is he a max contract player? I've always said you are only worth what somebody is willing to pay. Just ask Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Do I think that he is going to be a max contract guy? No. You're going to pay him, overpay him probably for what you would like to, but he's not a max contract guy. We'll get into that discussion coming up here shortly. Also, Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to join us next. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk some Brewers baseball. Paul Wagner, the former Brewers pitcher, and also has the Styx Academy here in Wisconsin. But we're going to talk with Paul, what he thinks of this team coming in, the addition of Yasmani Grandal, because there's positive and negative. I mean, Yasmani Grandal brings the stats. But my last image of Yasmani Grandal is basically pulling a Bob Uecker and running back to the backstop going, holy crap, where'd the ball go? So he wasn't exactly fantastic lighting it up when you talk about the postseason. So we'll get into that discussion. Like I mentioned, Dave Coleman of the Journal Sentinel is going to be here. We're going to talk with him about this upcoming weekend's race. They get it underway. NASCAR does. It is the Daytona 500. We're going to talk some more Packers with former Packer and Badger running back and co-host of The Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and also my co-host on the Green and Gold postgame show, Gary Ellerson, is going to be here. So that's all upcoming today. Stay tuned. More of The Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Polish Pipe Bomb. Jeff Orlovsky across from me. Hanging out today on this Friday. This sun-splashed Friday. Liking it. Good night for Mama Tried, too. It's going to be kind of cool. And you've got the winds have picked up. Flat Out Friday down at the UWM Panther Arena tonight. You know what that is, Jeff? You know what Flat Out Friday is, man?
I do not.
Flat Out Friday is where they get rid of all the ice in the UWM Panther Arena. They get rid of it. They suck all the water up, and they dry out the concrete.
Okay.
And then they come through, and they dump tens of gallons of Dr. Pepper all over that place. And they race motorcycles in there.
Nice.
And they have big hay bales and crashes and guys flying into hay bales and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
And they do it on mini bikes. And I think they had one where they did, remember the old big wheel?
Oh, yeah.
They did like big wheel races, a bunch of adults on big wheels. And it's hilarious. It's a great time. And every now and then you get a really good crash. Guy goes sliding into the hay and the hay's, you know, flying all over the place. So that's coming up tonight. It's all part of it's kind of the off-season motorcycle weekend in Milwaukee.
That's sweet.
So they've got a big event down at the Milwaukee Harley-Davidson Museum. They've got a bike show going on. Custom bike builders are all in town showing all the best bikes. This is filmed on one of the networks now, I guess. It's either DIY or something like that. Whatever those networks are that show the motorcycle stuff. And then they're over at the arena tonight, so we're heading over there.
Well, and what perfect timing since you're in the market for a new bike.
I am. I'm beginning to look for a new motorcycle. Sherry and I, we sold our motorcycle last year because, well, we were moving, and it was just easier to sell it, get the money, because we actually sold it for a little bit more than we bought it for. And then, you know, that way we didn't have to store it.
Right.
So now it's time. We're going to start looking again. So I don't want a brand new one, just because, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for a nice road glide or street glide and a full dresser on the back. And see, I've never been one of those guys. I always like the sleek, mean look, you know, the cool look. But I got to be honest, Sherry falls asleep on the back of it. She does. You'll be driving along, all of a sudden you feel this, ugh, in your middle of your back. You're like, hey, what's going on? You know, you all right? You're at 60 miles an hour, and you hear, and she's sleeping back there. I'm like, what the hell, you know? So you can't take a turn or anything, so I'm reaching behind me going, hey, oh, did I fall asleep? Yeah, you fell asleep, you know.
That's awesome.
Okay, here we go. Let's do this. Let's bring in Paul.
Need The latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Doing well. How are you?
Doing well on this Friday. So the only thing right now making news out of Green Bay that we've discussed at any sort of length of time has been the fact that, you've got some press conferences coming up next week. Matt LaFleur is going to be available. The coordinators are going to be available. So I'm kind of happy about that. We're finally going to start to hear from this coaching staff. But Aaron Rodgers is traveling the world. And for whatever reason, that bugs people. Does it bug you that Aaron Rodgers is out enjoying himself right now?
Oh, I thought we were going to jump right into the Antonio Brown hot topic, but we can.
Well, no, we're going to go back to that. Trust me, I'm all for that. But Aaron, for whatever reason, every time Aaron posts something of him having a great time, people get mad.
Yeah, I mean, just stay off of Instagram then if you don't want to see, you know, him and Danica traveling the world.
But right,
it's the off season. What do you want? What do you want him to do? Sit at home, sit in Green Bay, sit in the snow, shovel his driveway. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars in his bank account. You know, he's doing fine. So, no, I hope that people know that these guys, whether it's February or March or other points of the off season, let them enjoy their time off and worry about more important things.
I completely agree. People think that he should be with Matt LaFleur locked in a room right now learning every aspect of the new offense and coming up with some dramatic scheme that's going to put them back into the Super Bowl next year. And I'm like, first of all, he's coming off of a concussion. Go heal. Go feel good. Go swim. Go swim with whatever it is you want to swim with. And you're good.
And he commented, you know, that during the award show the night before the Super Bowl that he, you know, opted not to have that surgery. So there's a lot of natural healing that needs to happen as well with, you know, with the knees and everything. And now as being a 35-year-old quarterback, there's some much-needed R&R, I'm sure. And it would seem like that's happening.
So yesterday we started discussing Antonio Brown. We get the call from Pittsburgh, start to get the breakdown. And I tell you what, I was in favor at first of having Antonio Brown come into Green Bay, that if they would make a run at him, that would be a big splash. And then after hearing the dissertation from our buddies over there at the radio station that covers them in Pittsburgh, I thought, okay, I don't want any part of this cat. Did you hear it at all?
I heard the whole thing. I did my homework, as Radio Joe had said on the air. I listened not just to, you know, the interview that you did with your counterpart in Pittsburgh, but also then, you know, the 45 minutes that followed where you were talking about it and Joe was talking about it and you had callers calling in with their opinions. And Bill, I don't know if I know Joe's not in today, but I don't know if he prepped you. I told him, hey, Joe, I did my homework and I'm ready to come on the air tomorrow and tell you why the Packers should still trade for Antonio Brown. And I think he was maybe surprised to hear that. So, Bill, let me kind of take that through. Obviously, a lot of the stuff that was said on your interview yesterday was
Jim Colony over in Pittsburgh did a fantastic job of giving us his side of the story. So there you go.
It was great. I mean, it was 16 minutes of everything you could possibly want to know about Antonio Brown, from, you know, his early days as a hardworking guy who kind of stayed to himself to what, you know, he was described as basically like a super diva, you know. And so it's concerning, Bill, but here's my take, because obviously you were very, you know, against. You and Joe were both seemingly very against the idea after that interview of bringing Antonio Brown to Green Bay. Here's my take on it. I think what it seemed like, you know, you are trying to protect in a way is a team that can't possibly withstand, you know, a guy who might be a head case. And my counter to that is, what is there to protect? The Packers are coming off of 2 years of not making the playoffs. They have, you know, arguably what a lot of people have said, including yourself, is a roster that is depleted of talent, that clearly needs upgrades in a lot of spots. And I'm not saying that wide receiver is obviously one of those spots, but this, how else, if it's not Antonio Brown, and also, by the way, Odell Beckham Jr. also seemingly on the trade market, another top five wide receiver with plenty of, you know, off the field stuff that, you know, he's obviously an interesting character.
I take Antonio Brown though over Odell Beckham Jr. any day of the week.
Well, and so there you go. I mean, there's a reason that these ultra talented receivers, you know, who on field wise should never be on the trade block, are actually on the trade block, and it's because they are headaches to deal with. But I think if I was to say, Bill, you're the GM of the Packers, I'm going to give you a two-year contract, and you're inheriting 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers and 31-year-old Jimmy Graham and a bunch of, you know, young and unproven guys at various spots at running back and at wide receiver behind Davante Adams. And I said, you know, Bill, your task in the next 2 years is to get the Green Bay Packers to the Super Bowl. And you said, okay, I'll take that job. And then I came to you, you know, a couple weeks later, and I said, okay, Bill, the best wide receiver in the league, who you might hate, is available in a trade. Do you want to do that or not? And I think you would say, well, he's the best receiver in the league, but he's a headache. And he is. Well, I think I'll deal with that headache because I need to get the Packers back to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, and that was what my job description is. So I look at it and I say, when I say you, I'm saying you in the plural sense, you, Packers fans, everyone who, you know, who might have an opinion on this. You don't have to like the guy. You don't have to buy his jersey. You don't have to, you know, support his social media adventures and everything else like that. But if he is going to, you know, Colin said this on your show yesterday, you know, despite being the disgruntled guy that he is, he still led the league in touchdown receptions. Like, he's so insanely good that I think if you were to take a step back and say, I might hate this guy, I might not truly want this, you know, this headache around my locker room, but my task is to get the Packers back to the Super Bowl, and this guy makes that much more possible. And I just don't know if there's another player available via trade or via free agency who could accomplish that for you, short of Odell Beckham Jr., who, to your point, might be even less of somebody you'd want from a, you know, a kind of a diva perspective. So that's my initial take. So I'll pause there and let you chime in.
Well, my only argument to it is you've got a new young head coach that has one shot at getting it right. And if you stick him, it could turn out to be the best thing ever. On the opposite side, if you've got a young guy that's trying to become a head coach and he is completely undermined by a guy that's a head case and he doesn't have a way to control him, all we heard about coming out of that locker room was Mike McCarthy and the lack of accountability. How do you then gain accountability if you let this guy come into your locker room and begin to run it, probably even have a more flamboyant, more outspoken, more spotlight-grabbing presence than your quarterback? And if you lose control of your locker room right away, you're never going to get it back.
I mean, I totally agree. And it is something that you're not just judging. When you decide, hey, what do we want to give up for Antonio Brown? Do we want to, you know, for any team, do you want to acquire Antonio Brown? You're not asking yourself just about the football side of it. Because if it's just a football conversation, every team in the league would be jumping at this if it was just a football conversation. But it's not just a football conversation. I think, Bill, when I was trying to challenge myself with this thought process last night, I kept going back to, you know, putting myself in the shoes of Brian Gutekunst, putting myself in the shoes of the front office and saying, I'm inheriting a team, you know, putting myself in that scenario. If I'm inheriting the Packers and I'm coming off of back-to-back losing seasons, I'm coming off a year in which Aaron Rodgers did not play well, maybe at all, but for sure by his standards. I have all of these. I don't have a very good defense. There's, you know, I have a brand new special teams coordinator, a brand new head coach. You know, the only thing that's constant is the defensive coordinator. But even then, it's only 1 year of experience in terms of being in Green Bay with Pettine. I need a serious, serious upgrade of the overall top part of my roster for talent. And I think, Bill, you know, again, the Aaron Rodgers is not 24. This isn't the Rams with Jared Goff. They don't have, you know, they don't have like time over the next 10 years to like plug and play and try to get there. And so, you know, if you're asking me, do I want to sack bunt and advance the runners from first to second, or do I want to swing for the fences for a home run and risk striking out terribly? I think I'm going to take the risk of, you know, swinging for the fences with the home run and risk striking out terribly, because I just don't think the Packers are good enough right now to kind of play it safe. And so it's not really like I'm arguing for Antonio Brown as much as I'm advocating for the philosophy that this team isn't good enough to pass on talent that talented unless they have an alternative place. Because I think if you just go through the draft and you have a very casual free agency period, I don't know what else would make you suggest that this Packers team is going to go from being 2 years in a row of no playoffs to being a Super Bowl contender. But Antonio Brown, if you can deal with the drama, might be that difference maker. And so that's kind of where I keep going back to, you don't have to like the guy, you don't have to buy the guy's jersey, but he has the talent. And there's probably only like 20 guys in the world who are talented enough to do that to a team single-handedly, and he's one of them. So I feel like I just have to swing for the fence, you know, put all the weight in my back leg and just go as hard as I can, because I don't know if there's another way to try to turn this franchise around overnight.
Paul, always good. Maybe you're convincing me. We'll have to wait and see how I feel throughout the rest of the day, but we'll go from there and talk again on Monday.
I look very much forward to hearing your counter to that.
Okay. Have a good weekend, buddy.
See you, Bill.
There you go. He drops off. You get on board 855-830-8648. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Up next, let's talk some baseball. Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, going to join us talking about Brew Crew right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. Bill Michaels Show on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. Stop in and get your Quick Rewards card. And if you're a new member, by the way, and you get a Quick Rewards card, you can get some cents off of gas. Matter of fact, 10 cents off per gallon right now at Quick Trip. Up to 30 gallons, by the way. Pick up the free Quick Rewards card at any Quick Trip store. Download the app for the free Quick Rewards as well. Or go to quicktrip.com, K-W-I-K, Quick Trip. .com. Joining us now, talking some Brewers baseball, good friend, it's good to hear the voice, Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you been?
Yeah, Billy, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing wonderfully. I know that warmer weather is upon me. I'm going to be leaving here in a few weeks to head down to spring training, and I can't wait two things, to get a look at this team, and then secondly, to get a look at the new digs down in Arizona. But a lot of speculation as to whether or not this team's going to be able to repeat what they did last year. As a pitcher, you've got to be completely intrigued by all of this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's exciting coming into the year knowing that the successes that you experienced in 2018, and you kind of roll with it. And though momentum doesn't win ball games, sometimes it really helps, and it gives you a little jump start because you'd much rather start the season 6-0 rather than 0-6.
So were you surprised the way things got done? I mean, actually, and I think you and I talked at the end of the season, but in essence, looking at the way pitchers were signed this year during the free agent period, it's like the Brewers changed the pay scale for everybody. You don't have to have the high-end starter making $200 million. You can find a bunch of guys making $5 million that have good arms, under control, and you can go out and get the same thing done. They actually changed, I think, a lot of things for a lot of teams and the way teams look at spending money on pitching now.
Well, I mean, yeah, we had that conversation towards the end of last year and the way Craig was handling it. But you make a good point. Yeah, it does. But the bottom line is, if you lose the World Series, you're just the second loser. You didn't win.
Right.
You don't win. And until this formula proves right, whether starting with an opener and then putting your starting pitcher in, or going with, you know, two or three solid pitchers and then doing the opener bit and bullpen by committee and stuff like that, until you see someone hoisting up that trophy, it's still hard for me to grasp as an old school guy. I mean, yes, the successes were there. We've seen guys move and teams move closer and closer to the pinnacle, but they weren't there. And it's something that it's going to take time for me. You know, I need to see the successes, and Craig manipulated it and played and moved his tokens and pieces very, very well last year and almost did it. Can it happen again? I don't know. So got my I got high hopes, but also I'm a little tentative on whether that route in that way can actually lead to success.
Do you like the Yasmani Grandal signing?
I do. What surprised me, though, with the one-year deal was that I thought possibly Stearns and the front office was going to make maybe some additional moves with the pitching and possibly in the rotation, with per se, like the rumors about a Madison Bumgarner, 1 year at $12 million, free agent. Now we non-qualify him. We have him for 1 year at $12 million. I thought something like that with Grandal on a 1 year deal, especially with a 2.25 buyout. I mean, that's a huge buyout, mm-hmm. An option that a player option can walk away. So we can play right here for 1 year. And if it doesn't work, he can walk and take his, you know, 2.25.
The addition, I think, offensively is very good for this ball club. Like I said, I think the last image of Grandal was him basically chasing balls to the backstop and not really doing much in the postseason, where if you want to say he choked, he choked. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, he just didn't look good. So when I heard that they signed him, I was glad because I know what his regular numbers are. But when it comes to the biggest and brightest of lights, he failed miserably. So I guess that's where I'm a little bit skeptical. Are you?
No, you got a very good point. I mean, people say that, you know, he was mainly known for his defensive, something that we had back in the old days when, remember, I think me and you even talked about this with Jason Kendall with a catcher's ERA. You know, Grandal handled pitching staffs very well. And I know he hasn't performed like the level he did 3 years ago as far as the statistic gurus say. But now you add that. I'm going to say that last year in the postseason, his defensive lapses was just a bump in the road. His offensive prowess, though, I look forward to seeing him hitting balls into that right field short porch for us and driving runs. Like you said, this offensive lineup is phenomenal, or it could be phenomenal.
The platooning that went on last year, there's a lot of talk of whether or not they would bring Moustakas back, put Travis Shaw over at second base, and if they do that, that may eliminate a few guys. And whether or not Keston Hira, Mauricio Dubon, whether they're going to be ready to come up. It seems like it's a prove-it year to me for Travis Shaw. It's a prove-it year to me for Orlando Arcia. Because Arcia, I mean, as much as people just say, hey, he's tremendous at shortstop, and he had a terrific second half of the season. Defensively, he's awesome. But if you got Dubon and those guys ready to come up, and they're going to give you consistency, that changes things for Arcia, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. And unfortunately, in this game about winning, every year is you have to put up until you get that, you know, that 10-year or that 4-year or that comfort level. You feel like you've got to prove yourself every year. There's advanced scouting, there's video, there's everything. People are making adjustments on our side, and we look for the improvements that our hitters can do offensively. But we also have to remember that every single pitching staff in the league is also looking at video, and they're making improvements on their last year too as well. So the one thing that you bring up is big, this Keston Hira thing. I think if Keston is being held back for the reasons of controlling his contract, you know, bringing him up in a May 1st situation or even a May 15th, however that breaks down, a la Chris Bryant with the Cubs, then that's one thing. But you know what? With this offensive lineup to where it is, we know that Keston can hit. You know, if he's not going to have the surgery on his UCL or his ACL, whatever that ligament is in his elbow that, you know, they're saying that if he has a surgery, there's no guarantee it can come back better. Heck, he's got to find a position. We've got to see if he can play second base at the big league level. If we're moving Travis Shaw from third to second, I got to believe Keston, who's played there 3 years at Cal State, 2 years in the Arizona Fall League, I got to believe he can make that second base throw. And I hope we're not holding out for that CBA where we're trying to move the DH to the National League, because Keston Hira's offensive bat can even make this Brewer lineup even better.
Do you want to see the move? Do you want to see the DH come to the National League?
No. As a pitcher, I don't. I see that taking jobs away from pitchers, and you know, you can say whatever you want. You know, guys get paid this or guys get paid that, but you know, when you remove and when you put that DH into play, yes, it does prolong the careers of an Albert Pujols or guys in my era, you know, Barry Bonds's and Jim Thome's and Mark McGuire's could maybe have played another year at the DH level. But now all of a sudden, you're not – pitching staffs are going to go down to 11-man. You're going to lose pitchers because it's becoming an offensive game. And especially if they're talking about having a three-batter minimum for pitching. Now mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're losing the left-handed specialist who can't come in and face the left-handed batter and then get taken out. So I think, unfortunately, all these rules and all these ideas are coming about to increase offensive excitement for the fan. But as a pitcher, I like to see jobs for my pitchers, and I think this detracts from it and takes away from them.
Talking with Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, and going back to what we saw last year, I mean, a lot of people say Corbin Burns has the best stuff on the staff. He wants to become a starter. Are you concerned at all about the starting rotation of this team, not having that true ace? Or I know people want to say it's Chacin, but he pitched well last year after he got through the first couple of weeks of the season. But is he your true ace, or is this doesn't it matter to have a true ace anymore?
First off, Burns, yeah. Second off, Chacin, in my opinion, is not an ace. No, he's a great pitcher. He surprised everybody last year. He's got the steal of a deal. I mean, outstanding, phenomenal. Pitch lights out. I mean, he pitched and pitched. Is he an ace? No. The one thing that scares me most, I believe Woodruff has great stuff. Burns, he's got great stuff. I think we have a lot of pitchers with great stuff, and whether they can jump to that number one slot, you know, per se, is another thing coming. But Jimmy Nelson, you know, Jimmy Nelson had a lot of surgery, a lot of tinkering done in that shoulder, a lot of things that hadn't been done before. When you're talking, you know, labrums and rotators and avulsions and bone separation, you know, that's scary stuff in a shoulder, especially for a pitcher. I think hard to put, you know, the point of finger and base the whole season on one player, which is unfair, especially when he didn't pitch last year at all. I think the Jimmy Nelson scenario is one that needs to be monitored. If Jimmy Nelson is healthy and can give us $1.60 or $1.65, and he can pitch and be effective, again, look out.
Yeah, I'm. If he can give you anything, it's like icing on the cake, man. I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, if he comes back and pitches the way he pitched before he went down, I mean, that's it. But if he can give you anything, I agree with you. I mean, I remember having a talk with Craig Counsell when Jimmy went down, and you could, it's not so much what he said, but you could see it in his face that where he tore, even though it's in the front rather than the back, because if you tear it in the back, it's usually pretty much career ending. You tear it in the front, okay, you know, you got a chance of coming back. There's some players that have done that, but that's one of those things where you raise an eyebrow and go, man, I don't know if he's ever going to pitch again.
Yeah, and then in the back, you mentioned the back. So mine, when I tore mine 180, that labral tear was in the back. And what it does is, it's funny, the back side of your shoulder, when you tear that and they repair that, you lose velocity. And me being as mainly a power thrower, not a pitcher in my career, I never considered myself a pitcher. I was a thrower. But when you take 95, you know, 94 to 95, and you drop that down to 88 to 89, and now you're going to try to pitch. And if you don't, you know, you got to learn damn quick. And if you can't make that adjustment, it's hard. Jimmy, on the other hand, with the front, still with good velocity, I think he should do it. I just I hope it comes back. You know, fingers crossed on something. You can never know what that shoulder is going to do. Elbows are pretty predictable. Tommy John's coming back, the UCLs, the figure eights, you know, the ligament transfer, that's all good. But the shoulder's scary, so got my fingers crossed for Jimmy. Good man.
Paul, always a pleasure. How's the Styx Academy doing?
Styx Academy's doing phenomenal. We are everybody's getting excited. Remember, baseball season in Wisconsin now is all consolidated to spring baseball. There's no more summer leagues. So we've got kids coming for everything, whether it be hitting, pitching, fielding. Styx is an absolute phenomenal facility. And if you haven't been out there and you haven't had a chance to see it, go to styxacademy.com. Check it out on the website. Then come on, go for a walk. Sean Smith and the staff there with Bart, they're great people, and they'll help you out to the fullest.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Sounds great, Bill. Have safe travels down to Arizona.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Wagner, former Milwaukee Brewers pitcher. He's also with the Styx Academy. You can find him at styxacademy.com. You can check out everything there. If your kid plays baseball or you're listening and you want to play baseball, they got a terrific, terrific academy that you can send your kids to, and always run by top quality people as well. And that's one of the biggest catches for that, is that they've always got good people around them. Go to styxacademy.com. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Hey, if you're looking for something good today, there is a lot going on in the world of getting out and about. And we've all been kind of cooped up because of the snow. Hey, we got a lot of great people that are taking us to spring training. They took us to Super Bowl. They're taking us to spring training. Our friends, Brewtown Eatery and Bar, go over and say hi to Jill and the entire staff and Norm behind the bar, by the way, 5121 West Howard Avenue at the end of the strip mall. At one end, you've got Cousin Subs. You can't go wrong. At the other end, you've got the Brewtown Eatery and Bar. Great fish fry on Friday nights. It's a friendly corner gathering spot. And there's not a whole lot of sports on the TV tonight. So just go out and have a good time. Or that's your Valentine's dinner, since maybe you didn't go out last night. Or they have music tomorrow night. So stop in tomorrow night, grab some dinner there, and just enjoy yourself. Kick back, relax a little bit. Also, if you got a big gathering coming up or you're getting ready for tailgate season, make it Usinger's. Whether it's from the deli or the cheeses, they have it all. Party boxes, pit samplers, Northern Comfort, or the Old World Medley, Usinger's has something for everybody. Go to Usinger, U-S-I-N-G-E-R, Usinger.com. And when you're done eating, if you have not brushed properly, Dr. Paul will tell you. The Levine Dental. Go to Levine Dental, L-E-V-I-N-E, LevineDental.com. Dr. Paul, as I call him, he is fantastic. Let me tell you the why. Because I had broke a tooth, broke a molar not too long ago, and I had found him on Facebook, and I said, Paul, I'm in agony. This was like 9 o'clock at night. He said, I'll meet you at the shop. Called it the shop. Went in and got it done. Ended up repairing it, fixing it. And that's the kind of guy he is. He just cares. And he doesn't live far away from his office. So it's kind of cool that way. But they're taking everybody, whether it's dental restorations, cosmetic smile makeovers, or just for you and your family to go get checkups and meet a good guy. It is Paul Levine, Levine Dental, L-E-V-I-N-E, Levine Dental. I cannot recommend them enough. LevineDental.com. We got a lot coming up in the next hour. We got a lot coming up. Going to talk some Giannis. Going to talk some racing. Oh, yeah, I'm not kidding. Mike Florio, you're going to hear from him. Oh, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. More of the Bill Michael Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.